This is the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast. On this show, Chris Sampson and I were joined by Ian Fitzpatrick from Clyde FC. The Bully Wee have been doing things a bit different when it comes to some fundraising initiatives, with Ian being at the heart of a lot of it. As always, there's something for everyone as we get more detail around the initiatives. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast. I'm Chris Sampson from Sports Marketing Scotland, and I'm with the Scottish FA's digital manager, Michael Bockel. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. We've got Ian Fitzpatrick on today's episode, and we're focusing on Clyde. They've been doing some really interesting initiatives recently, and we wanted to get a lowdown on them from Ian, which is, and we're hoping that it'll kind of inspire other clubs to follow suit, aren't we, Michael?
Yeah, as you said, look, we've noticed a few things coming from the club recently. I think in particular the digital season card was one which, to my knowledge, I don't think I've really seen anything too similar in Scottish football. And we wanted to get somebody on from the club to get a bit more insight into that. And as you said, some of the many other initiatives that seem to be going on at Broadwood at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Ian, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much, guys. How are you doing?
Not too bad, yeah. How are you this morning?
Yeah, perfect, thanks.
Great. Let's just get right into it then. Can you just give us a bit of background to you and what you do for Clyde?
Certainly, yes. So I joined the club back in January this year as an associate director. So that was just sitting underneath the main board. Initially, I was brought in as a commercial lead. But then based on the skills and qualifications that I have, I've since morphed into a more commercial and marketing role. So within this role, I work up commercial strategies and marketing plans, make up the graphics for our social media and website, and pull together all our sponsorship proposals and agreements. So basically, I put my hand into anything that's marketing within the club, really, both internal and external. And I also make sure that all the commercial teams, that we're all aligned and focusing on the same objectives and making sure that we're not double selling stuff. And also started documenting all our commercial and fan obligations to ensure that, you know, that we are doing what we are said we will. I feel like this is where the club's let itself down in the past. So it has been a big part of the strategy for this year.
We have a growing listener base, believe it or not, outside of Scotland. Can you give us a quick summary of Clyde FC? And you touched a little bit on it there, but what your current challenges are?
Yeah, certainly. So Clyde FC, we're a part-time League One club, just got promoted to League One last season. We are currently based in Cumbernauld, which is just outside Glasgow. However, of course, we are originally from Glasgow, and we've had five home grounds since we were formed back in 1877. So we started at Barrowfield Park, but then we moved on to Shawfield as the crowds kind of grew, which would be a nice problem to have these days. During our time at Shawfield, we won the Scottish Cup three times. We've actually held the Scottish Cup longer than anyone else has, so we won it in 1939. And of course, it wasn't played again until 1946, when Aberdeen won it. That's a nice bit of pub trivia for you there. We shared it with the Greyhound Racing Association, and they bought over the stadium in the early 30s. And we remained at that stadium until redevelopment kind of forced us out in the 1980s. So since then, we shared with big rivals Partick Thistle and Hamilton for around about 8 years, I think. We then became known as the Gypsy Army, obviously, because we're always moving around. And then we moved into Broadwood Stadium in 1994, which is in Cumbernauld, and that's where we play now. So in terms of the challenges that we have as a club, I think the main challenge just now is generating income. So the stadium that we have just now is rented from North Lanarkshire Leisure. We don't actually own the stadium. So because of that, we don't have the benefits of such things as pitch hire or even match day catering income. Like most clubs at our level, we struggle with that. We don't have any of that. So because of that, we've had to be heavily reliant on generous fans and donations over the last few years. Although we are now trying to look at different ways to generate income and starting to build up better sponsorship relations. We do have one of the lowest budgets in the 42 teams in the league. And that's why it's so important that we've got a manager like Danny Lennon. He really does get the best out of every penny that we invest in the playing squad. And that's very important for us. I think we also need to start improving our relationships within the community. So obviously we are in Cumbernauld now. We need to embrace that a bit more, I think. coming. We obviously have a large Celtic and Rangers fan base, so if we can reach out and get some of those guys or even our kids along to watch our games, then we'll really have something to build on. There's a brand new retail park as well that's opened up just beside Broadwood, and I really think we need to start growing the relationships with these companies as well, so you know they could potentially become sponsors in the future.
I think that definitely big challenges there for you, and I'm sure we'll come on to a few of them in a bit more detail later on as well. But I just wanted to touch on something really quickly too, and that was we had Neil from Raith Rovers on a previous podcast, and he mentioned that Raith are helped by so many volunteers. Is it the similar setup at Clyde at all?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I'd probably say that most clubs at our level would be lost without the volunteers and the stuff that they do. We have countless numbers of volunteers that give up their spare time to do all sorts of things, from running the club shop to like myself, who builds high-level strategic policies, or even, you know, danced around the pitch dressed up as a bull costume. Everyone is absolutely valued at the club, and we wouldn't be able to function without volunteers. It's as simple as that. We're grateful for everyone that helps the club, and certainly everyone that gives up the time to help the club is definitely appreciated by the Clyde team.
What is your approach to your role then? You gave us a little bit of an insight at the start there, but how do you approach your role?
I mean, the main thing for me is to do as much as I can with the least amount of people shouting at me. I do try to keep off forums and stuff like that. You do get the inevitable bit of slack thrown at you sometimes, but you know what, you just have to take that as part of the course. The main thing is that I'm a Clyde fan. I support Clyde. I want to see the team succeed. And my approach is simply to get Danny as much money as possible to help him build the best team possible. I like to think myself as a professional guy, so you know I'm always trying to bring strategy and organisation to the table. You'll quite often find me writing up a plan or hiding under a spreadsheet or even trying to incorporate my Microsoft Paint skills into Photoshop just now.
One of the things that we'll mentioned at the start was the digital season card, and we'll come on to that, but one of the fascinating initiatives that you've got going on at the club is the club ownership model. I think at the time of recording, you probably can correct me here, I think you've got something like 448 owners. What is the ownership model, and what is the sort of offering for fans?
I think actually at the moment we're up to 454, I think. But you're right, it certainly has been a busy few months in terms of initiatives for the club. Our ownership model, we're now in the 10th year of that, and quite a few clubs in Scotland have kind of followed what we are doing. We were the first club in Scotland to become a fully democratic community interest company, and that is one member, one vote democracy. So the ownership programme that we have, it runs yearly, and as I say, all owners do have an equal vote on club matters. And they are part of that democratic process. If we do need to adopt club policies and such, we will invite all our owners to clubs' AGMs and EGMs if they're needed. And there are all other, loads of other stuff kind of hidden underneath that as well. So they'll be invited to exclusive Q&A sessions with the management team. And we've even added some extra benefits for this season. So if you are an owner for this season, you get to vote on the home and away kits that we'll have for 2021-22. And we've also included stuff like draws for boardroom passes for each home match. So for the first time ever as an owner of Clyde, you can actually be invited into the home boardroom and kind of see how the club works from behind the scenes. In terms of cost, so this is all available for £40. That's for a year's kind of ownership. So last week I heard Chris speaking about his membership of the Caledonia Braves almost being like crowdfunding. Well, that's kind of not like us at all. We've not set this up as an income generator, and it's more so to ensure the democratic running of the club. So it certainly stops any single person having complete control. And in terms of numbers, as I say, 454, I think we're at just now. So I had targeted 350 owners for the season. And even that was up around about 15% in last season. But we're now kind of looking closer towards 500 owners for this season, which would certainly be the most we've ever had in the 10 years that it's been a model.
Ian, you mentioned kind of voting on kits there. Is that the only thing that fans get to vote on? Is there more things that they do get to do?
In terms of voting for the owners, there's not really a lot of voting required. We would mainly have votes at the AGM where board members are voted on or off the board. and you know what, there may be some more extreme circumstances that come up, such as when we looked to move away from Cumbernauld a few years ago, that was put to an ownership vote back then. So we don't really have a lot for the guys to vote on. But purely that probably says more for us in the sense that, you know what, we think we're running things fine, so we don't need to really have major votes to change the way that we're running the club. So we've added in the votes for the 2021-22 playing kits, which I'm already working on. So for those, we'll work up with the kit suppliers and the board to get that down to a final five home and final five away shirts. And then we'll take that to the owners to vote on, which is exciting. I think that's the first time we've done this. And then also, obviously, we've got the man of the match vote. So as an owner, you'll get to vote on your man of the match for each game. And then what we'll do is at the end of the season, we'll tally up all them votes and present an owner's player of the season. And again, for the first time, we're going to invite an owner. We'll do a draw for an owner to actually come and present that award at the end of the season, which again, I think it's another quite interesting thing to be part of.
Yeah, definitely. Those kind of additional benefits are always a good thing, and I do love a kit vote as well. What's been the fan feedback to the ownership model so far?
Remarkably, if you take the fan element aside, we've got a lot of non-fans that take up our ownership deal. We've got owners from all over the UK. We've got owners from Switzerland, Greece, Russia, North America, Australia. So we really are spread afield. I'd be a bit naive to believe that all of those are Clyde fans. So overall, though, we do have a good retention rate of fans. So obviously we must be doing something right with the ownership model. As I said earlier, I think two-way communications haven't really been too good over the last few years between the club and the fans. And it is certainly an area that we're trying to improve on just now, and picking up some feedback on what we're doing in particular terms of the ownership model will certainly be part of those improvements. And again, in terms of development of the ownership model itself, we can only change that with votes from the owners. So we'll probably keep it as for the foreseeable. But what we can do as a club is add in extras and benefits. So we'll keep an eye on the benefits that we've added in this year, and then based on feedback, you know what, we may extend that, we may pull some back. We'll see how that goes.
I guess with adding additional benefits, that is one way to probably attempt to attract new owners. But what else is in the plan to try and get that number up even further? I know you said it was up already based on what you'd targeted, but obviously I'm sure you want more owners.
Certainly. And for the first time this season, we've had a solid marketing plan that we've sat behind this initiative. And we've seen the benefits from that already. So ownership's up 44% on last year, which is amazing. And whereas this season it's been more of an acquisition plan, so we've almost started from scratch, we're going to have to switch to a retention plan for next year. So obviously fans they're going to pick up the ownership regardless, you'd think. But it's kind of the non-fans that will be less inclined to renew for the second season. So we do need to retain these guys and you know what, ensure that they don't churn away from us. They need to feel valued. And they do need that value to renew, so it's up to us to ensure that we're giving that value for them. And you know what, the results so far for the ownership, they've vastly exceeded what I believe we could have brought in. And to be honest, I'd much rather have this level of success with the rewards programme or the season cards. But you know what, we're building on that. It's a slow progress.
With the season cards, can you tell us a bit more about them then?
Yeah, certainly. I think the easiest way to describe the season cards is a prepaid debit card, which you can use around the club and everything from match day entry to picking up a pint or a club lounge or buying a scarf in the club shop. It really is pretty universal. Each card that we've sold is worth £250, and then you can spend that value how you wish. And you know what, more often than not, you're going to get a discount on anything that you spend your card on. So if you take a club shop, for example, you can take a 10% discount on any of the items in their shop, or adult replica kits. The shirts will be £40 if you bought them in cash, but if you pay using your card, you'll get them for £35. So we're really trying to push the value of this season card. You can also use it for hospitality. You can use it for club events like end of season awards. And the kind of beauty from my CRM background is that we can target items to fans based on the previous purchases or even the remaining balance. So if we find out that a fan's got, you know, £35 on the card, there's one game left to play, we can invite them along to hospitality for for that £35, if that's what we chose to do, rather than the normal £45 cost. So there's loads of clever things that we can do behind the scenes to make sure that people are one, getting the value out of the card. But you know what, as a club, we need to be getting the value out of the card as well. So there's loads of clever things we can do. It's also not exclusive to a single user, so I can invite friends or family along to a game and pay for their entry using my card, or I can buy them stuff at the shop using my card. It's certainly not exclusive to a single user. And then also there's the £250 initial balance, but it can be topped up throughout the season. So anytime if you feel that you want to top up your card, if you want to pick up some Christmas presents or stuff, you can do so. And then once the season's finished, at the end of the season, the fans will have the option to either donate their balance back to the club, which would be really kind of them, or they can add it to the balance for next season, or they can just withdraw it completely. So there's definitely loads of options there.
I think it sounds brilliant. I'm just thinking, and I'd like you to take us through kind of the logistics of it as well, Ian. Like, kind of how does it work? I think in the past, some Scottish clubs, and I think even now still, there's taking Morton as an example from my perspective, there's still some issues with our new kind of turnstile system that went in two seasons ago now. Have you had to implement much tech around the ground to make it work logistically?
Not really. I mean, we did look at a few different options. Some were unfortunately more costly than others, and some included all sorts of technical kit that I will never understand. We did in the end decide to go with Ticketco, who's a company we've worked with in the past. We worked with them for the Scottish Cup game against Celtic at the start of the year. And their process is really simple. It can't be simpler. Your balance is held on an app on your phone. You'll then show your barcode to whether it's coming into the turnstiles, whether it's in the club shop. You'll just show your barcode and then we'll scan it using another smartphone, and then the money's just deducted from your account. It really couldn't be any easier than that. I mean, we have used obviously contactless at our gates for a few seasons now, and you've obviously got the opportunity to lose signal and stuff like that and kit going down. So that's obviously something we need to be wary about. But you know what, it's a simple solution. And I think with that simplicity of use and the value that it affords our fans, I can certainly see a few clubs implementing a similar product over the next few seasons. And in fact, you know what, it's probably unlikely that as a club we won't return to a traditional season ticket offering based on this card.
You mentioned as well there that it was a CRM system, that, and that's where a bit of your background is. So you're able to pull some insights out, are you?
Yeah, I mean, I've not sat down with the ticket co guys too much, but yeah, but they've kind of let us know what we can and what we can't do. So I, obviously as a CRM guy, that's kind of interesting to me. So I'll be really, really looking forward to seeing what we can do to get even more benefits to the club and to the fans as well.
How did the idea for the digital season card actually come about?
I mean, I think every single club in the country had a problem with season tickets this year. So, you know what, we had to sit down, we had to think, do we sell them as is? And, you know what, with that comes the pitfalls of not knowing when or even how many games we'll have to play, or do we scrap season cards altogether like Hamilton have done and just have pay at the gate? Now we couldn't do the former, as we'd probably have a massive liability hanging over our heads in terms of possibly refunding tickets for matches that couldn't be attended or games that are cancelled. And then we couldn't do the latter because, you know what, like most clubs, we need that source of income just now. We need that source of income in the summer. So it was actually another associate director, Dave Alexander, that came up with the idea that the prepaid season card, which is almost an amalgamation of both. The club has that tranche of income in the summer. And then looking at it from a fan's point of view, those guys get really good value and opportunity to support the club, regardless of how many games are actually played.
Ian, for fans looking to contribute a bit more to the club, you've got 1877 Rewards, haven't you? What's that?
So 1877 Rewards, it's a brand new initiative that we've set up this year, and it rewards fans for the regular donating to the club. So it's similar to the very impressive Aberdeen DNA programme. I'll be not as extravagant as that. So we've got three levels of monthly donations. We've got platinum, gold and silver. And they reward our fans based on what they can give each month. So the club, as a club, we got so used to just asking for donations for the fans, and we didn't often give something back. So I felt, you know, we can do better as a club, and we need to start rewarding these donations. So the rewards that we give away, the range from entry to our Bailey Wee Fund, the lottery that we have, we've got access to the Matchday Lounge, we've got free entry to Glasgow Challenge Cup matches, we've got monthly draws for signed kit, boardroom passes, premium lounge passes, we've got free hospitality places and even invites to come along and watch a first team training session. So there's kind of something for everyone in there. And like we've done with ownership, we've smashed our platinum targets, but we're kind of falling a bit short on gold and silver just now. And again, the success of this programme is absolutely nothing without the fans that have kind of supported it. And it's certainly brand new to the club, and every penny that we make out of this rewards programme goes straight to Danny's player budget.
And you mentioned there the Bailey Wee Fund. Is that's for fans to try and win money while also contributing to the club. Is that only through 1877, or is that different as well?
No. So you can get it as a platinum reward, but it's also a standalone offering as well. So I mean, we started the Bailey Wee Fund a few years back. It's been an amazing success, and it is basically just a club lottery. So if you take up the £5 weekly offering, so you would pay £5 each week. And then we'll do 26 draws across the year for half of the pot. So at the moment, I think we've got 205 subscribers. So 1 week, the club will get 205 times £5, so just over £1,000. And the next week, the draw winner gets 205 times £5, so again, just over £1,000. So a decent cash prize up for grabs almost every other week. We do usually do the draws at the home games, but obviously we need to add in a few extra ones here and there to ensure that we do have the 26 draws across the year. Personally, I've joined the Platinum Rewards, so I do get the Bailey Wee Fund through that. And I tell you what, I must be the only person that doesn't want to win that Bailey Wee prize. I don't think that would go down too well.
Have you found that you've got different audiences for each of your initiatives? Or are you finding that some of the same fans are signing up for multiple things?
I mean, there are lots of fans that have the hat-trick. They are owners, they've got their season cards, and they're signed up to the rewards. And that's certainly an unbelievable level of commitment. In terms of target audience, I think the only real difference that we've got is the ownership initiative. That's got a greater appeal if you don't actually support Clyde. So my brother's a Celtic fan. He's signed up as an owner. My uncle's a Rangers fan. He's signed up as an owner. So you don't really have to be a Clyde fan to enjoy the benefits there. We will tweak our copy and the language that we use based on the social media channel that we're promoting on, because you know that audience will differ, probably more so than LinkedIn than anything else. But aside from that, our target audience is pretty much constant.
Ian, I was just thinking there, you mentioned hat trick. If somebody does have the hat trick, you could send them a little ball as well. That's a little idea for you. If you don't already do that, I'm sure it's already up your sleeve, judging by some of these initiatives already. The club's benefited from donations during lockdown as well, haven't it? Obviously, it's been a really tough time over the last, 2020 so far, basically.
I mean, as I said earlier, the club's been almost dependent on donations from our fans almost since we moved to Broadwood, actually. And we have just surpassed £20,000 in donations for this lockdown period. And that's absolutely unbelievable. The majority have obviously come from fans and supporters groups. If you take the Glasgow Supporters Branch, for example, they've done some amazing things for the club lately. And you know what, they've even picked up training kit sponsorship. So again, without our fans dipping into our pockets, undoubtedly we would still be in League Two. We wouldn't have the kind of player budget that we've had over the last couple of years. So again, on behalf of everyone at Clyde, you know what, I'd like to say thanks to anyone that's either made a one-off donation or picked up a season card, joined the reward scheme, or even become an owner. It's thanks to these guys that we can actually run as a football club.
And just quickly take me through the kind of sign-off process at the club for some of these too. Obviously, you mentioned there's the board in place. How do things get over the line, and kind of who's involved in coming up with a lot of these initiatives as well?
So we have just gone through a restructure within the club. We do have the main board that the directors and associate directors will sit on. We've also got an executive group, so we've got key people from within the club. And we've also launched an advisory group as well. So we've got key people there from within the club, but we've also got quite a few key people out with the club as well. So as part of that, we're all split kind of into work streams, and we all have our own specific remit and strategic priorities to deliver. Each work stream is led by a director or a member of the exec group, and then they would take back anything to the main board for sign-off if required. Although, to be honest, most times, such as commercial plans, marketing plans, we will just go ahead and we'll start planning and running with it. We do have quite a bit of autonomy, so we've all been brought into the club for our skills and our knowledge, and you know what, the board acknowledges that and they kind of let us run with that as well.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I think, obviously, we've mentioned a few times on the podcast that having that buy-in and kind of level of trust from above as well can really kind of kick things on and take things further, really like empower the people that are doing a lot of these things on a day-to-day.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, and it's definitely no different to our club as well, yeah.
What initiative would you say has been the most successful so far?
I would say in terms of press coverage and, you know, just getting eyes in the club, the season card's definitely been the most successful in that term, although, you know what, sales probably could be a bit better. I'm certainly anticipating an influx of sales closer to the start of the season, which, you know what, you'd see that way any season ticket sales. In terms of the targets that we set ourselves at the start of this year, ownership has far exceeded our expectations, possibly due to the extra benefits and rewards that we put in on top of that. I mean, we did target a 14% increase, but as I say, we're now up to a 44% increase in last year, which has been absolutely amazing. And you know what, probably our rewards program is the only one that could really do with a boost just now. So certainly hoping that we can get a bit closer to the targets that we set ourselves for the time that the season start comes around.
And aside from kind of targeting some new owners and hopefully selling a few more season ticket cards towards the start of the season, any other future plans you can let us into at the moment?
Well, yeah, I mean, being as planned and as organised as I like to be, I've already started writing up the strategy for 21-21. As of yet, there's nothing really groundbreaking in there. In terms of the season cards, you know what, as good as it is, I think we can improve. So we are currently looking at including stadium kiosks, accepting payments. So as I said back at the start, you know what, we rent our stadium from North Lanarkshire Leisure. The guys run the kiosks, so we kind of don't have any input into that just now. So we are working on those guys to see if we can use season cards for buying, you know, a pie or a Bovril or whatever. Although we need to agree with them. We're also looking at how we can incorporate our kit supplier and allow them to take online payments for our club shop. So unfortunately at the moment, the season cards, you can only buy club items from the official club shop at Broadwood. We can't accept online payments yet. So again, that's something that we'll look to really enhance that card and make it even more valuable for the fans for next season. We're also looking at local companies and if they can offer discounts to our season card holders. It's something that we've done in the past, and I think that's going to be really strong to help us build that community feeling. I think we've kind of become broken away almost from the guys in Cumbernauld, and I think we need to start looking at that again and how we can kind of work with each other and build a solid community. Obviously, we're investigating the possibility of live streaming games if we can't allow fans into the stadium. So we are working with a company called Pixelot to install a single-use camera into the stadium. So primarily it will be used by Danny for his analysis, but we can double up and stream matches using that system as well. We do need to do a lot of testing, though. Obviously, we may have bandwidth issues in the stadium and such, so there's a long way off before we can kind of sign that off as an initiative. And we're also looking to develop our own club podcast, which we're looking to make that either weekly or fortnightly. We've kind of not decided in that format yet. As a club, fortnightly, you know, it's probably more practical for a club of our size. But if we do it weekly, we can call it the Bully Weekly. You know, so there's a decision to be made there.
Definitely keeping yourself busy then.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I'm still off on furlough. I don't go back to the start of September, so safe to say that Clyde have got their money's worth out of me over the last couple of months.
No, I mean, and you know, a lot of the stuff you're talking about there sounds really interesting. And I think, yeah, look, it'll be exciting and interesting as an outsider looking in to see just how some of those things progress, because it seems to be some great initiatives there. You referenced it a little bit earlier on about how you're based in Carmarnold, and obviously you've been there for a while now, but there's been a lot of talk over the years about the club returning to Glasgow. You mentioned that the owners had a vote at one point around that. What is the current situation with Clyde, and is Cumbernauld, going to be the home for the foreseeable? Is there still ambitions to maybe move to back into Glasgow somewhere?
Well, North Lanarkshire Leisure, they've just spent, I think it was just over £600,000 on upgrading the facilities at Broadwood last season. And you know what, the place is actually looking really good. They've laid a brand new pitch, they've put in some new dugouts, which have got the new comfy seats in them. The changing rooms have had a massive overhaul too. And you know what, they really have done the place proud. They've even installed a giant scoreboard, which allows us to kind of improve the sponsorship packages that we can offer, or indeed sell slots as standalone advertising as well. So I think overall, the relationship that we've got with those guys, it's increased significantly over the last few years. And there's currently no plans for us to move away from Cumbernauld. I think where we fell flat in the past few years is that we've failed to kind of build on that community aspect of the club. And that's certainly something we'll be focusing on over the next few years, is to try and make Cumbernauld more of a home, as what some people see it as now. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff to go on behind the scenes. Personally, from a commercial point of view, it would be absolutely great to have our own stadium, and we can have different revenue incomes and streams like that as well. That would be unbelievable to have, but we need to be a bit realistic. You know, we don't have loads of cash, so we need to be realistic in what we can deliver. So for the foreseeable future, we'll certainly be staying in Cumbernauld. And you know what, it's down to me and the other guys to make that more of a home of what it has been over the last couple of years.
You're kind of in a relatively unique situation in Scotland, where you actually ground share Broadwood with Cumbernauld Colts, don't you? I mean, there's a handful of teams that probably ground share in Scotland. How does that work? Technically, do you feel like you're competing for the same fan?
I don't think so. There has been I'd say there's a bit of an animosity probably between the fans more than the clubs. You know, it's not really an issue from our side of things. When the fixture list gets released, obviously we need to make sure that we're not clashing, stuff like that. But that's really not for us to do. And as I said, probably a few years ago, North Lanarkshire Leisure probably preferred Cumbernauld Colts as our tenants, but as I say, the relationship kind of built a bit stronger since then, so we're kind of in it all together. We're actually looking to install a new club shop in one of the stands at the stadium, and that will be a part initiative between the two clubs. So there is signs of us kind of working together, which is quite good. We're also looking at possibly having some sort of North Lanarkshire-based two-day tournament. It certainly was the plans before COVID kicked off, and I think we're probably going to look to kind of get that back up and running again. We will have a two-day tournament with some Lanarkshire teams at Broadwood over the 2 days, so that'll be quite interesting. So yeah, we have had a frailed relationship in the past, but I think that's another thing that we're kind of working on now, and certainly there's no ill feelings between the two clubs.
In terms of your community efforts as well, is there a couple of them that you can just share just now in terms of trying to get yourselves much more embedded into that Cumbernauld area?
We don't have any substantial plans at the moment. As a commercial team, we're going to go around quite a lot of the companies in Cumbernauld over the next few weeks. Obviously, we've got our sponsorship deals and everything lined up for the coming season. But as I said, I'm now working on 2021-22. So it's about kind of giving and taking. So we'll advertise these guys as much as we can. Hopefully, we'll be able to introduce some kind of discounts scheme for our fans to use next season, along with our season cards. And you know what, it's just about being visible in the community, I think. We've got our Bully Wee the Bull mascot that we can send out to schools. We don't have the luxury that we can send out players, unfortunately, because obviously as a part-time club, those guys have got full-time jobs. So it's nice that it would be to send some of the players out to the schools and stuff. Given their work situation, that's not possible. So we need to be kind of be clever in what we can and can't do. certainly we'll look to have a bit of an impact in the certainly in the town centre, leading up to Christmas at least, because you know what, if we can get a pop up shop in the town centre, then you know what, sales are just going to fly through the Christmas period. And again, that's something that we've never really looked at before. But again, I'm here to make as much money as I possibly can for the club and for Danny. So certainly nothing's off the table at this stage.
It must be exciting for you as well, but probably quite daunting to try and like focus in on what is the most important thing to focus on initially.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of any job, you know, it's what can we do that's going to be a quick win? What can get our player budget up quickly? And that's what we'll put our focuses on. Luckily enough, we've kind of developed quite a strong team. So so some of the other guys in the commercial team, they can kind of work along and getting match day sponsorship and match ball sponsorship. They can work on that for now. Whereas that kind of leaves me alone to look at the more strategic side of things for next season and try and get more money from our sponsors mainly. But then also, how can we give better benefits to the fans for some of these initiatives that they're picking up?
Definitely. One of the things that I spot and really like is you tweet quite often about things that you've spotted other clubs doing. Which clubs or maybe organisations at home or abroad grab your attention more than others?
You're right there. I did do that. I've kind of calmed down a bit lately. I've started building the matchday graphics for Clyde for next season, and as old marketing saying goes, steal with pride. So I'll try not to share too much just in case I end up stealing something and then people start to recognise it and there goes my reputation down the drain. But you know what, I'd love to get through an episode of this podcast without someone bringing up Hibs or Motherwell. But
so know, would we, but it's really difficult.
You know, you just can't. You need to give them credit where it's due. In terms of content and what they put out, Motherwell is so far ahead of anyone else. And in terms of visuals and graphics, I think Hibs have absolutely nailed it this season. Really enjoy the simplicity and the sharpness of the graphics that they've put together. And of course, you know what, I wouldn't be just doing justice to guys at our level as well. There is some really good stuff out there. Airdrie, for example, really, really do like the consistency of Airdrie's content. They've got templates that they stick to, and I do enjoy that. The guys down at Queen's Park, they've done quite well over the last couple of weeks. And again, you know what, that's down purely to a volunteer who's been off on furlough and picked up some extra skills. And he's using them skills to do the club proud. So I think the stuff that Queen's Park are putting out just now is pretty good. And you know what, Berwick as well, I think they deserve a mention. The guys that have went into the commercial team there, they've done amazing over the last few months. And you know what, you really have to wonder that if that commercial team was in place a few years ago, would Berwick Rangers be in the position that they're in now? I think that would be an interesting question. And you know what, I even looked further than that. So below that, some clubs, their social media accounts are absolutely unbelievable, although some do get carried away at times. I'll mention Carluk Hotspur. I'm pretty sure nobody's mentioned yet. They're an amateur team, but they've got some unbelievable graphics. And I'm a sucker for some really good branding and graphics, and they've nailed it. I also keep an eye on Sydney FC and Kansas City. Again, but that's purely for their branding and graphics. Some really good stuff coming out of them guys, as you'd expect. And I've also been helping out with Team Finder Scotland over the past few months with their graphics and content. So what they're doing is they're helping players at the lower levels of the football pyramid find new clubs. So naturally, all the stuff that those guys are doing is great. That does take up a few hours a week for me. But it does get people back playing football again, so it's definitely worth it.
Love that. Michael and I have got a couple of examples too, but just to finish off from you, Ian, have you got any other advice for clubs across the country?
Yes, certainly. Of course, every other week we kind of hear the importance of volunteers. And you know what? I echo that 100%. I'd just say to clubs, don't be scared to open your doors to new people. There are definitely some really, really talented people out there that are just waiting to help your club, Queen's Park being a perfect example. So if you can do an audit on your club and appeal for volunteers if you're falling short in any key areas, don't expect them to come to you, and certainly don't be shy to ask. In terms of social media, I'm a firm believer that every club in the country can have the best social media content with the right team behind them, regardless of what level they're playing at. And again, if you take a look at Carluke, they've got less than 200 followers on Twitter, but I reckon the social media branding and graphics is easily the top 10 in the country. And I'm not associated with them in any way. I've never spoke to them or anything, but you know what, credit where it's due. And you know, when I went off in furlough back in March 2018, it feels like now, I opened up my Twitter DMs for any club that needed support with marketing, branding or any commercial activities, particularly those under League Two, for them to come to me for support. And you know what, my Twitter door is always open. So from a personal point of view, I'm always available for help or advice or you know what, even just to run some ideas past. As I say, the Twitter door is always open, so to speak.
I've actually just, while you were talking there, Ian, went and quickly went on the Carluke Hotspur Twitter just to look at their graphics, and yeah, they're very impressive. I actually quite like that. So yeah, definitely worth checking them out. Ian, thanks very much for your time on the podcast. I think some valuable insight into some of the great initiatives that the club's doing and just some of the work that goes in behind the scenes around the club. You bear with us, we'll just quickly go through some examples and actually following on from some of the great examples you've just given there with some things that we've seen ourselves. So Chris, I'll just start with a couple of things that I've seen. So one thing I saw, it was a club from down south, Clapton CFC. Obviously, I'll up my hands, I've never heard of them before, but one of the things that I was pretty impressed with over the last couple of weeks was they've just gone through the process of buying their ground. It was a bit run down, they had to buy it, and they gave full transparency on how that process has gone, where the money's coming from, what the plans are, everything, every bit of detail, the types of loans. And I thought it was just a bit refreshing to see a club that, you know, will put its hands up and show exactly what they're having to go through to do this and keeping fans firmly in the loop. It was a simple website update that they tweeted out, but I just wanted to call it out, as we've talked about this on the podcast before, about just being a lot more open and transparent, and I thought that was a great example of it. And it's something completely different, a bit of fun to but I thought it was just a nice bit of content that worked on a number of different levels. Was obviously the NBA is back in America, similar to a lot of sport over here being played behind closed doors. And one of the things the Phoenix Suns did was they got families to call out the team. So if it was a certain player, it was their family or friends would announce them in the starting lineup. They filmed it, they got the player reactions because the players didn't expect it. And all around, it was just a great bit of content that I'm sure helped inspire the players as well. So it's just something to call out that I quite liked.
Definitely. I've got a couple of things as well. Anything Football Manager normally gets my attention. And I spotted that New York City FC have started a kind of new series on their own website, just playing through as the club on Football Manager. I think that's it's such an easy bit of content. Obviously, it takes a little bit of time because you have to spend some time playing Football Manager. But writing that up, and especially at a time, maybe for some clubs in Scotland right now when there's no matches happening, it could just be something that gets fans hooked in a little bit more to things that are happening. And then, I mean, Michael, you're probably going to shout at me, but I'm going to call you out because you've been doing some cracking Twitter threads since the season, Scottish Premiership season started. Obviously, a few of those kind of on the graphics, as Ian was alluding to as well. There's been a lot of good work there by a lot of the clubs so far. And I think just on that as well, I wanted to call out Livy, just because I think we definitely discussed it, Michael, and I think a few others spotted that maybe their graphics weren't quite up to scratch when the season started, maybe the first weekend. But then I think they've enlisted some help from Owen Wright, who does quite a lot of good stuff on Twitter and has done some good stuff for me in the past as well. I think he's helped him out with a few templates since the first game of the season. So yeah, they've kind of upped their game, reached out for some help and kind of leveled up there.
Yeah, I started those threads just out of interest, and I've probably just got a bit too carried away. I'll maybe throw one more in once every team in the Premiership scores a goal, and then we'll maybe look at the goal graphics. But yeah, just on the Football Manager, actually, one of the things I liked from them recently, you see it a lot across different things, but it was a simple infographic, but it was just based on the data that they had of the gameplay and the amount of interaction that generated, because it was quite interesting how many games have been played, how many goals have been scored, trophies won, etc. So the data is there. They've just used that into creating a bit of content that has engaged the fan base. So I thought that worked really well.
Definitely. I'm off work this week, so I'm just about to go back to Football Manager after we've stopped recording this podcast. But before we go, I just had one final thing. Michael, you and I recorded a Pure Football podcast. That got released today as we're recording this, which is on Thursday, but obviously you'll be able to catch it when this is released. And that was Gav from Pure Football kind of both set us a task of improving Club X, which he'd kind of created and created kind of like a fake club and put together a few bits of information around it. What would we do to improve that marketing? It is a long podcast. It's about an hour and a half long. It was great fun editing it for me. But yeah, I think I would say it's probably an essential listen. Michael, you'll probably agree. I think there is definitely one bit where you talk for 10 minutes straight, which I'm sure everybody will really enjoy.
Yeah, I might have got a bit carried away.
But yeah, that's out. So hopefully you go and have a listen to that as well for a little bit of a self plug for Michael and I there too. Ian, thank you very much for persisting with me and Michael speaking there for a bit and coming on the podcast today.
No problem, guys. Thanks very much for having me as well.
Cheers, and Michael, see you next time.